Welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. It's an absolute delight to have you with us. Today, brace yourselves for a message that's not just timely, but transformative. An inspiring and uplifting word straight from God's heart to yours. We're immensely grateful to our partners for their unwavering support, enabling us to spread this beacon of hope and faith across the globe. Your efforts are changing lives, and for that, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. If you feel called to join our mission and want to become a partner, please visit thelife.cc/give. Your support can make a world of difference. Now, let's dive into today's word, confident that it will directly speak to your heart, strengthen your faith, and inspire you to live out God's purpose for your life.
Open up your Bibles, if you brought them tonight, to the book of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. I was going to start a new series entitled The Raven and the Dove, but I feel like we're going to wait on that. I do believe that that particular series, if I will say and can say, is prophetic for the season of life that we're in. And I want to take my time, and I really want to build on that. And so I want to study it out a little bit more before we communicate it and just make sure I'm saying everything that needs to be said there in light of what God wants to communicate. And so I knew I had something else on my heart, and this is just from my own personal devotional. And it ties into what we've been teaching on in the series, Should I Be Rich? This is kind of adding on to that. And I've never seen things in this light before, but it's opened up things for me in some neat ways, and I just kind of want to talk about that. In Luke chapter 16, we see something here that is honestly key. I feel like Jesus lists three tests. The Lord will test you, you know. He will not tempt you with sin, but he will test you. We see that in the book of Genesis chapter 22. God tested Abraham when he asked for Isaac. And the reason why God tests you is he has to have a reason why he takes you where he takes you. God is not a respecter of persons. You need to know that. How many of you know God loves us all the same? I know I'm his favorite, and so are you, but he loves us all the same, but he does not reward everyone equally. And you need to understand that. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. If you choose to forgive, there's a reward. If you don't choose to forgive, there are just certain things he's not going to be able to take you into. Peter reveals, if you want to treat your wife like any old way you want to treat your wife, God's not going to hear all your prayers. If you want to love your life and see good days, you've got to make sure that your words are filled with grace. Like, there are things that God rewards, and so he passes out tests to see if you will pass them. Now, some of those tests are very specific to you, but there are general ones, and here Jesus is about to list three tests. If you pass these three tests, you move on. You don't pass these three tests, there's just certain things you're not going to walk in. And watch what these three tests are. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also that with much. And he who is unrighteous with very little things is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true riches? Now that's the title of tonight's message, True Riches. Who will entrust true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another man's, who will give you your own? So here he lists three tests. He says, I'm going to test you with little to see if I can give you big. And if you don't pass your test with little, you don't qualify for the big. So that's the first test. I'm testing you with what? Little to see if I can give you what? Big. And if you don't pass the little test, you're never going to walk in the big stuff. So God looks at things. I believe God looks at a lot of little things that you probably don't understand he's really looking at. How you take care of things, the little assignments he gives you. If you ever read the book of Acts, you see that, well, let's just go over there and look at it. Just hold your place here, because this is a rabbit trail. So don't leave Luke 16. But go over the book of Acts. And notice this in chapter 12. and verse number 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled, notice that, when they had fulfilled their mission. When they had fulfilled their mission. Now go down to Acts 13 and verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, beginning with Barnabas, and it ends with Saul, verse 2. And as they were ministering unto the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. Now go back up to verse 25 of Acts 12. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission. Now go down to verse 2. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work where I've called them. In Acts chapter 12, they were taking just simple supplies to another church. There had been a prophecy that there was going to be a drought and a need. And so they're like, we need you two, Barnabas and Saul, to go take this food there. He has not written any of the New Testament yet. He has not been called on any missionary journey yet. But he fulfilled that mission. And after he fulfilled that mission of doing that very little thing, don't think it's any coincidence that after he did that, God spoke to him in Acts chapter 13 and said, let me talk to you about big things. God tests you in the little things to see if he can give you the big things. And if you've been unfaithful with the little things, he's not going to give you the big. He's going to see how you handle it. He's going to see, do you honor it? He doesn't cast his pearls before swine. You've got to honor what the Lord's telling you to do. Well, somebody says, well, what does all this mean? When God deals with your heart, do not make excuses for why you haven't done that. Make changes. If God tells you something small to do, I mean, whether it's like give 20 bucks to this person over here or go take this over here. God is not just looking to do something in the earth. He's not just looking to like take supplies over here to this church that's in need of them. He's looking to see, will you be faithful? And if you are not faithful in little things, then you're not going to qualify for the big things. The other thing he said he tests you in, this is the third test, but tonight it'll be the second one. The second test is he said, I'm going to test you in another man's to see if I can give you your own. The greatest among us is the servant of all. And I don't care who you are. Listen to me. I don't care who you are. There is not a person in this room that does not need somebody and something to serve. There is not a person in this room that does not need somebody or something to serve. And if you don't have one, I'd strongly recommend finding them. And somebody says, why? Because God's going to test you in another man's to see if he can give you your own. And unless you're faithful in another person's, then you don't qualify to get in somebody and to get your own. So for me, God has called me to support missions. And of course, there's a lot of missionaries and there's a lot of things out there, but there's certain people that God has told me, you get behind. So like for this thing that I just went on in Brazil, I go down there and like I said, it's on my own dollar, it's on my own money. I don't know how many times I preached. They wore your boy out. And then some of those places, no AC, man. I mean, like it's another level. But out of that, somebody says, why do you do it? Because God will test me in those things to see if I'll be faithful in another man's. They got my best. I made no money on it. No compensation for it. Nothing that I earned. I went to serve. I paid thousands to go serve somebody. And somebody says, well, why in the world would you do that? Well, love for the Great Commission. But more than that, to be faithful in serving who God has called me to serve. Not looking for anything in return, but just to serve. And Jesus, I'm telling you, do you remember when he washed his disciples' feet? And he did that, and they're like, Lord, how can you be Lord doing this? And he said, if I am your Lord and I do this for you, he says, the reason why I'm doing this is for you to do this for someone else. And there ought to be something and someone on this earth where you say, I am here for you. Whatever you need. And listen to me, what I have found is people need you when they need you, not when it's convenient for you. Don't make me preach. People need you when they need you, not when it is convenient for you. And you know what I've seen in my life with the people that God has called me to serve? It has absolutely never been convenient for me. I mean, I've got kids, man. Like, I dropped my wife off, or my wife dropped me off from the airport. We never do this. And after she did it, I'm like, this is why we don't do this. She dropped me off at the airport where I wouldn't have to leave my car there because the flights worked where I wasn't coming in super late or having to leave super early. And so she's dropping me off at the airport. She starts crying. I start crying. I'm like, I don't want to leave you. And she's like, I don't want you to leave. And she gets in the car and I'm looking at her and she's looking at me and I'm like, forget Brazil. I'm going back. I'm going back to my wife. It's never convenient for you. But that's the essence of serving. See, if you get in return what you give, you didn't serve. That was contracted labor. I can't serve you until I add more value to you than you added to me. There is no serving without sacrifice. And so out of that, I'm telling you, when I look at my life and things that happen, there are things that happened this week that were just super cool in the church, our church, super, super cool. I'm convinced a lot of those things could not happen if I didn't serve the people God told me to serve faithfully. But God will test you. It is a test. It is a test. God will test you in another person's to see if he can give you your own. And if you're not getting your own, it could be because you have not been found faithful in another person's. You need to find somebody to help run their race. So God will test you in that. But then he said this third test, I will test you. He said, I will test you with unrighteous mammon, which is money, to see if I can give you true riches. And if you are not faithful with money, how you handle your money, I'm telling you, it matters far more than you ever possibly could imagine. How you handle your money matters far more than you could ever possibly imagine. He says, I will look, go back and look at it, where you can see I'm not adding to scripture. Luke chapter 16, verse number 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? So he says, I'm watching how you handle wealth and money to see if I can give you true riches. And so every one of you ought to be proud that in a healthy way, that if Jesus put on display your financials, that you would be proud to showcase that to him. Here's what I did with my life. Here's what I did with my time. Here's what I did with my life. And here's what I did with my money. And you ought to be pleased to show it to him. And out of that, he says, if you have been faithful with that money, then I will give you true riches. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. What in the world are true riches? Like, is that talking about more money or more things? No. True riches, well, I'll tell you a story, and I'll close with that. So I go to Brazil, right? And I'm there, I fly in, I leave last Monday, land on Tuesday a.m., and I'm ministering. Like, as soon as we walk off the plane, it's like, go. And so I tell the missionaries when I'm there, I'm like, I don't want to sightsee. I don't want to do any of those things. You don't have to take me to lunch. You don't have to take me to restaurants. I genuinely do not care. I am here to serve you. And out of that, I want to be spiritual. I want to be in a spiritual place. So what that means is I spent a lot of time with the Lord in the hotel, which was awesome. Because so many times in my own life here, and many of you can relate to this, when you're around your own natural surroundings, it's easy to get pulled out of pocket. And there is a pocket spiritually. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. Maybe some of you musicians know what I'm talking about. When you play in pocket, like in sports, it's like you're in the zone or like that type of thing. Well, you'll find that place spiritually. And somebody says, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the terminology would be found in the book of Revelations. John said, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day, on the Lord's day, in the spirit. And so you can be spiritual, but there's a place called in the spirit. And when you're in the spirit, it just means you're more aware of spiritual things than you are of natural things. It's a beautiful thing. It's like in sports, when you're in the zone, it's like the rim is so big, I can't miss. As a musician, in pocket, it's like when you're in pocket, it's just like, we can blow from this place. That type of thing. And when you're in the spirit, spiritual things just are big to you. And there are times when I'm in the spirit and there are times when I am not. But in this trip, it seemed like the whole time I was in the spirit. And somebody says, well, why? Well, one, I had a lot of time to just be with the Lord without distraction. And that's what you need. You've got to be a Mary in a Martha world where everybody's running around so busy with 15 things on their phone and at work and with kids and with family, if you can ever just sit at the Master's feet and listen, He will speak to you. The reason why we're not hearing from God is not because He doesn't want to talk. It's because you're not still enough. He speaks in a still, small voice. And so when you find those places, it's just special. So that was a big part of it. But on this trip, it was different. It was a level of intimacy for a week that I have seldom enjoyed on this earth with the Lord. And I could tell you, just spend the whole time we're here together tonight, experience after experience after experience after experience, that I had on that trip. I mean, everything from visions and dreams to prophetic words, to words of wisdom, to words of knowledge. Like, God was just real to me. And I don't say that to brag. Listen to me. I don't say it to brag. I say it to teach this point. So I'm there, and finally on the last day, there was no ministry, but my flight didn't leave till like 9 p.m. at night, because that's just how the flights work there. Basically, if you go to Brazil, you're flying straight down, which I really like. Like, four missions, count me in on that, because there is no time change. And that type of thing where your body has to adjust to multiple time zones. It's basically straight down, and Rio is 2 hours ahead of where we are, so it's not that bad. But we're flying out at night, which means I would land in Houston the next morning, because it's just how it works. It's 10 hours from Houston to Rio. So my flight didn't leave till 9, and so at this day, I'm like, I don't have another service, so I just told them, hey, let's, go hang out, and we'll do lunch. But I had still the morning to be with the Lord. And I came to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, this week, thank you. And I told him, I said, I didn't make any money this week. And I said, you know my heart. I wasn't trying to make any money. I'm here to serve. But I'm like, what you gave me is better than anything money could buy me. Now, I don't know if you can relate to this, and I think all of us want to hear from God, but my desire to hear from God was amplified when my father died. Like, you always want to hear from God. I think any Christian, any believer would love to hear from the Lord. You should. But it was amplified when he passed away. And I'm like, this week, Father, you were just so real to me. Like, it felt like you weren't hiding anything from me. That at any moment I could pick up anything you wanted me to see. And I told him, I said, it reminded me of what you said about Abraham. Let's go over there and look at it real quick. Go to Genesis. Genesis 18. I'm talking about true riches. Genesis 18. This is what I took him to. I said, it reminds me of this story. In verse number 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do? Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after me to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what was spoken about him. And the Lord said, and he goes on to speak to Abraham. But that phrase, shall I hide from Abraham? And I told the Lord that morning. I said, I want to be a man you feel that way about. That's like, he needs to see this. He needs to know this. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard, neither has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And that's a beautiful verse, but it's also filled with a problem. Think about it. God's prepared things for you, for those of you who love God. God's prepared things for you, but your eye can't see it, and your ear can't hear it. Neither has it entered into your heart. Then he says, but God has revealed those things by his Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so with God. What the Spirit of God who is in God, talking about the Holy Spirit, knows the things that are in the heart of God. That Spirit has been given unto us freely, Paul said. Why? So that we might know the things that God has prepared for us. See, the Holy Spirit, write this word down because I really feel like so many of you need this right now. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal. Reveal. That word reveal, literally think of like a magician. You know, if you've ever seen like a real good magician, it's like the bunny was always there. You just didn't see it until it was what? Until it was revealed. It's always there. But when he took that off of it, you're seeing something that was always there. You just didn't know it was. And I feel like so many of you, God wants to reveal some things to you. Like there are things you need to understand about your life. There are things you need to see about your kids. There are things you need to understand about your call. You and I found many people live and die, and they live so close to God, but never close enough to have him reveal to them the thing that they were actually born for. And they live their whole life incredibly frustrated because they never saw what they were here for. Not just what they were here for, but who they were here for. And you get around the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to reveal things to you. I say it all the time, but it's the truth. If you sow the seed of talking to God, you will reap the harvest of God talking to you. But you got to sow the seed of talking to God. And out of that, like you get in that pocket and you get in that vein. You get in the Spirit. You get in the zone. You'll come to a place where God's revealing things to you. I mean, he'll give you a dream. If you need a dream, he'll give you a dream. You need a vision, he'll give you a vision. You need something in a service, he'll give it to you in a service. You need something from a friend, he'll give it to you from a friend. But the Lord will reveal things to you because you'll come to a place where he looks at you like he looks at Abraham and he's like, they got to know. They got to know. I can't hide this from them. What's about to happen over here? They need to know. And I want to be, I don't know about you, I believe it's the truth, but I know for me, I want to be a man that God looks at and says, I can't hide anything from him. To Daniel. Daniel got before the Lord. You remember the story of Daniel? The king has a dream and has, you know, he knows if I just tell people the dream, they'll be able to figure it out. And so he's like, I can't just tell them the dream because then they'll give me a false interpretation about what the dream means. So he says, you're going to have to tell me the dream. Think about this. Your life is on the line. You're going to have to tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation. And if you don't do it, every one of you are going to be put to death talking to his mighty men. Well, all the mighty men are freaking out because they're like, it's never happened this way before. You normally tell us the dream and then we tell you the interpretation. He's like, I know, but that's because you know the interpretation or know the dream and you make up interpretations. So he said, you're going to have to tell me both. Daniel, you ought to read Daniel. First six chapters of Daniel, change your life forever. Daniel, I want to be like Daniel. Daniel goes before God. You know what he says? God, I know you are the revealer of secrets. Reveal. That dream has always been in the earth. You can show it to me. And God did. I said, and God did. He revealed it to him. The things that your physical eye can't see, that your physical ear can't hear, that your physical heart can't understand, the Holy Spirit, by God, can reveal those things to you. They can enter into your heart. But you've got to come to this place where you understand how these things work. And so I'm talking to God about this, and I'm like, you took me to that place, and thank you for it. Like, I felt like there was nothing anyone could hide from me. There was nothing, anything that was hidden from. It was like the veil was lifted and I am seeing. And I told him, like, it meant the world to me because of the ministry that it provided, but not just for the ministry that it provided, because I knew I heard from you. And so I was praying that way. And I told him at the end of the prayer, I'm like, I never want to leave that. Like, I don't want just moments, pockets, where I'm in the Spirit. Like, I want to live there. I want you that real to me all the time. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. And the Lord came to me and said, you know why, right? I said, no, that's what I'm asking. And he took me back to what happened last Saturday night in Brazil. So I'm sitting in service, and we've got all these pastors and leaders from all these churches. So this particular meeting was set up, this one-night meeting, to have all the churches that they had planted, as well as all the key volunteers of those churches, to come together for like a revival night, like we sometimes do at Highland Colony. But just get the leaders there, only the leaders, invitation only, that kind of thing. And I pull up to this space, and you're talking like 1,000 people in a room that seats 400. Like, you talk about hot, man. I literally had to peel my pants off of me. That's how hot it was when I got back to the hotel. I was soaked. I mean, from head to toe soaked, and so was everybody else. So I'm there that night, and I'm hearing from the Lord during praise and worship. And I can't understand a lick of it, because it was all in Portuguese, until they got to the song Yeshua. And I'm like, I know that one. That's in Hebrew. So it's a universal language there. But out of that, we're worshiping. And the Lord begins to speak to me. He says, what they've done here in Rio, tell them I want to do in Sao Paulo, which is another city in Brazil. Tell them I want to do it in Sao Paulo. And the director for Sao Paulo is right there. Tell him, like, what you see here, God wants to do there. And then as a sign unto them, tell him, where they will see that this is a word from me. Tell him, which was the leader of the ministry, that you're going to buy him a car. I'm like, okay. So I get up, and I say everything I just told you. Of like, everybody, what you see right here in Rio, God says he wants to do in Sao Paulo. That the churches that you've planted here, just like you've planted them here, he wants to plant them there. That there will be a multiplication of ministry. That this ministry is called to break the borders of Rio and to go to Sao Paulo. And I said, as a word of the Lord, as a sign that he means business with this, the Lord told me, and I pointed to the head of the ministry, to buy you a car. Now, I had no idea what it meant. He starts, I mean, just you can see the power of God on him. I mean, just weeping and all those types of things. So he texts me at the end of the service. And I'll read you the text where you can see these things. Let me pull it up. Hang on. It's on WhatsApp. Because that's what all the people, all the cool kids, all the cool missionaries, this is what they use. Let me pull it up. I can only imagine that your body is completely emptied from every drop of liquid. Laugh out loud. But I want to first thank you from the bottom of my heart for the love you have for my people and pastors. Every word was straight from the throat of heaven. What an honor and privilege it was to minister with you to these precious people that God has called us to. I'll skip all that. Brazil will never be the same. Our churches will never be the same. My family will never be the same. I will never be the same. And then he says this. Also, I really don't know what to say. I really don't want to say this here because it's not worth a text. But I'm not sure if you knew or not, but we have serious issues. I didn't know. Serious issues with our car. Our AC doesn't work. Suspension is going out. It's on its last leg. Last night when I went to the gym, as I was driving and sweating my guts out in my car with the windows down, God said to me, you can ask me. And I knew what he meant. And as I was driving, I started rejoicing for our new car. Our kids have been declaring it. We have been declaring it. And last night, I claimed it as ours. Then you show up, and God told you to do that as a sign that he heard me and would take this over into Sao Paulo. Which, super cool. Okay, so we do that. Then I feel the anointing of a prophet. And I'll not always be a pastor. I really do sense for the next 10, 20 years, I'll be doing this. But it will not always be the thing that I do. I operate, especially when I travel, in the office of a prophet. And for those of you who don't know exactly what that means, it's just a different type of office. And it's interesting, like if I go into like a home office and then I go into my work office, I have different tools there. And so ministry offices are like that. When I operate in the office of a pastor, I have tools available to me that I don't have in other places. But when I step over in that prophet's ministry, I got tools available to me there in that office that they don't exist in this one. And so out of that, I felt that anointing come on me. I'm like, let's go. And so out of that, he starts bringing people down. Now, this is fun for me because when you know stuff, it's hard to give a prophetic word. I don't like that. And it's oftentimes why I don't do it here, because when you know stuff, it's not nearly as clear because your brain will play tricks on you. You know too much, which is why when I go in, I'm like, don't talk to me. When I go into these churches, I'm like, don't tell me your needs. Don't tell me who your leaders are. Don't tell me any of that kind of stuff. Because if I pick up something by the Spirit, I don't want to be second guessing myself. And so out of that, you know, I'm flying blind naturally. My eye can't see it. My ear can't hear it. My heart doesn't understand Portuguese. But the Spirit will reveal. And so out of that, I step into that office. I'm like I said, let's go. And so we start laying hands on people. And we start, you know, doing this. Well, he's my interpreter, the head guy for the ministry. And it's all in Portuguese. So I'm talking in English. He's talking in Portuguese. And the whole time I'm talking, he's crying doing the interpretation. Because he knows the needs of the people. And it is, I've never been so sharp in my life with words of knowledge. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the gifts of the Spirit, two of which are the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom will talk to you about future things. The word of knowledge, though, is powerful because it will talk to you about things in your present and your past. And you want to see God get on people, have a word of knowledge. Because when you know a complete stranger is reading your mail, then you know God sees you. It is powerful. Listen to me. It is powerful. And so out of that, I'm seeing these things just operate. And so like his campus pastors come up as the final thing. He's like, I want you to pray for my campus pastors. I'm like, let's do it. So they bring up the campus pastors. And each one of them, I mean each one of them, every word is just exactly apparently what he had been communicating with them. Like every single word. So they're crying. He's crying. You know, it's just one of those things. Super cool. Super cool. And like I said, for me, I'm getting so blessed that I'm crying because it's like, I'm hearing from my Father. And there's nothing. It's true riches. It's true riches. You can have all this other stuff. Give me that. And so the Lord said on that last day, you know why I was able to do that right? I'm like, no. It's like, you remember that night? I'm like, yes. He said, do you know where it started? I'm like, where? It's like when you gave him that car. He said, I know what you did there. We had money saved up for a fountain at Lakeland. The big circle thing there, that's always supposed to be a fountain, not like a big circle with just grass and trees that honestly are too big for that. But anyway, they need to be cut down. I was going to cut them down when I put in the fountain and do something different landscape-wise there. But that fountain was always something my Father wanted. It wasn't something that like I naturally have an affinity for, fountain. But it was kind of like the last thing that he wanted that I still have on my heart to do in honor for him. He designed that. I didn't design Lakeland, like the parking lot, the layout, the bays, where the fountain will be. I didn't design all that. He did. And so that's something I'm not going to fundraise for, right? It's like, I'll fundraise for a missionary. I'm not going to fundraise for a fountain. So I would just set money aside as it would come in to be like, okay, when it comes, we'll build a fountain. And we'll just set some aside, do all our missions first, but just save a little. And so I'd save that up. Well, the Lord, I mean, every single service, the Lord, our church operates with the gift of giving, which means when the gift of giving is in operation, oftentimes it'll work with the word of knowledge in knowing specific financial needs. And so I'll get that kind of stuff all the time in my personal life and with the church. It's like, you've been needing blank. The other day, the Lord said, they're $500 short, I need sheetrock. I'm like, sheetrock? He's like, sheetrock. Tell them, I see, they're $500 short with sheetrock, and give them that. Give them sheetrock. The Lord will have me give things to like some of my daughter's friends, just specific things. Specific things. Give him that. Because it'll open up their heart to me. And I want their heart opened up to me because it's not me I want it for, it's him. And so the gift of giving combined with the word of knowledge is powerful. So out of that, the Lord will tell me those things. But I had that money saved up, and we're giving it away. Like giving it away just to these missionaries and to these needs. And so out of that, the Lord said, I saw what you did there. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you were willing to give that up for me. I said, you're right. I love you more than I love my earthly father. And I honor you more. And it's not mine anyway. It's yours to command to wherever you want and to whoever you want it to go to. It's yours, Father. And he said, because you did that, if you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And he said, Abraham, this man you're talking to, because that's what I took. I want to be a man like that. That you look at me and say, I can't hide anything from Joel Sims. I got to show it to him. I got to reveal it to him. And I opened up Genesis and said, that God, that's how I want you to see me, is that. And he said, did you ever notice in Abraham's life, two tests he faced? And I knew, I'm like, okay, yeah, Genesis 22, you asked him to give Isaac, and he did. But he said there was another test when he let go of Lot. And I'm like, I preach on that a lot. It's the lots in life that keep us from the big things of God. We've got to let go of Lot. But he said, what happened when he let go of Lot? I'm like, Lot took all the well-watered land. If you read that story in Genesis, their ground grew so much. They became very wealthy. So much so it's causing problems. And so Abraham said, I would rather have peace with less than more with strife. And so he came to Lot and he said, separate from me. If you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. I'll let you pick. And it's with Abraham's stuff. And Lot gets up and he looks at he's a taker. You're either a taker or a giver. There is no in between. There is no in between. You are either a taker with the spirit of mammon on your life and money as your Lord, or you are a giver with God on your life and God as your Lord. There is no in between. And Lot had that taking spirit on his life. And he looked at the well-watered land and he said, I'm going to take it all for myself. And he did. And you know what Abraham did? He gave it so freely. Why? He wasn't impressed by it. And he said, Joel, you don't understand how powerful what you've been teaching on Sunday nights is. That the reason why people don't walk with me in lordship like I want them to walk with me in is because they walk with another Lord where money is dictating everything. They think about it all the time. They talk about it all the time. They're dreaming about it all the time. That's all they pray to me about. That's all they talk to me about. That's what all their relationships are about. It's all transactional. That's what they want, is money. And money has become a replacement for me. And you go back and somebody says scripture for it. Matthew chapter 6. You realize what he said there? For all the things that the Gentiles crave, one translation said. All the things that the Gentiles seek. And what happens is we get this craving in us where literally all we're operating with God about is more, 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 nicer, better, upward mobility, obtain this. And it happens even that way for the kingdom, that we come even honestly into the kingdom of God where our mission for God becomes greater than our relationship with Him. And it is transactional. It is wanting God for a transaction in the earth. And he said, Joel, when you did that and what you've been doing in your own life and this revelation I've been showing you, he said, I am watching what you do with money to see if I can give you true riches. Go over. I'll close with this. I've already gone 9 minutes over. That's okay. You're listening so good. Go over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. There are people all throughout Scripture. Well, we already mentioned a bunch of them. Paul. Daniel. Abraham. Another one that we're about to look at. Moses. They had, and hear me when I say this, very intimate relationships with God. Like they knew Him. They knew Him. And I know when we were teaching on the money series, one of the things we asked, and I want to keep asking you that question, is what in the world do you want to be known for? You want to be known for your clothes? You want to be known for your dress? You want to be known for your shoes? I don't want to be known for my giving. I don't want to be known for my church. I want to be known for one thing. You know what it is? That I know Him. That I will forsake everything in this world, every label, every title, every brand, and count it as dung for the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord and the power of His resurrection. And when you get to that place where you esteem earthly things lightly, and this stuff in your walk with God is not about transactional things. It's about a walk with Him. It's about obedience. I'm telling you, it opens up your promised land. It's amazing how it works. Why? Because He can trust you with it. He knows He can give it to you and it won't become your Lord. And so Abraham walked in this, but so did this man by the name of Moses. Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage over into a promised land. And the children of Israel would watch Moses talk with God. They were blown away by his intimacy with him. And watch what it says here in verse number 11, Exodus 33 in verse 11. Lord, let this be for us. Just pray a prayer right here if you want to. Say, Lord, let this be for me. Verse 11. Thus the Lord... used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. There's a song that came out a number of years ago called I Am a Friend of God. And we sang it one time, and I had a guest minister in, and the guest minister corrected everybody. He's like, you're not a friend of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. And me and my wife were talking about that the other day. She's like, do you remember that? I said, I do. And I said, you know, I see it different now. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, I have sons. Like, my daughter's here tonight. I have a daughter. But I have seen, like, you can have a daughter and have the relationship on paper, but not have friendship. And tonight on the way to church, she's like, can I ride with you? I'm like, oh, babe. Like, I have a dinner appointment. But I'm like, I'd love nothing more. Because what is that? It's friendship, face to face, he said, that the Lord would talk with Moses, face to face, as one would a friend. And I ask you, have you had that? I ask you, this is not in here where you walk away with like, oh, good for Moses. Like, that's awesome. He must have been like very cool. That's written to provoke you. I said, that's written to provoke you. To what? To jealousy. To come to a place where it's like, I'm not going to let Moses, who was under an old covenant, know God better than I know him. Face to face, as one talks to a friend. And is it any wonder why he picked Joshua? Why God picked Joshua? Because this kid's like, I know I can't get in there right now, but I'm going to get as close to it as I can. And even when Moses leaves, I'm not going anywhere. But why? Why would he do that for Moses? Watch this. Verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you. He's talking to God like one would talk to a friend. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I might know you. If I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider to this nation your people. And God speaks back to Moses and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What a great promise. But watch Moses' heart. Then he said unto him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead me up from here. Do you see what he just told God? Why is God talking to Moses face to face as one would talk to a friend? Why is he lighting up a bush and speaking to Moses from a bush? Why is he not doing that for other people? It's not because he loves Moses more than other people. It's because man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord will look at your heart. And what did Moses say in his heart? He said, God, I know that you promised us a land that flows with milk and honey. I know that there is a land out there where the land swallows it up, us up with its goodness. But I want you to know something, God. I'd rather be here in the wilderness with you than to be in a promised land without you. And if I got to give up that promised land to stay with you, I'm telling you, do not take me up from this place if you do not go with me. And you know what most Christians are praying for? They're praying for their promised land. They're not praying for his presence. Because the spirit of this world has creeped us in, thinking if we had bigger, better, and more, then you'd be happier. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the spirit of mammon. But God does have a promised land for you, a land that flows with milk and honey. But it is not to be the thing that you pray 9 times out of 10 for. It's not to be the thing that you covet. You know what you ought to covet? You ought to covet the Lord. You ought to covet his presence. You ought to covet, like literally, 1 Corinthians tells you, chapter 12, to covet earnestly spiritual gifts. Like, when's the last time you prayed, God, use me for prophecy. Use me for a word of wisdom. Use me for a gift of healing. Like, has the passion, listen to me, I don't mean to condemn you, I mean to convict us. Has the passion for our heart, for the Lord and spiritual gifts, matched anything compared to what we want from him for ourselves? Has our worship turned into he is not the end, but he is the tool we use to get to what we really want, which is the promised land? And for Moses, he's telling God, the promised land is not my destination. You are. You are. And so if to get to you, I got to walk through a promised land, I'll do it. But if you're not there, do not lead me up from this place. Because I want you more than I want a promised land. And so the Lord will test you in it, to see if you'll lay it down. to see if you'll give it away, to see if it will come out of your heart, and that in your heart you want him. Daniel, before God spoke to him, had to deny the king's sweets and delicacies. I could show you example after example. Jesus had to deny food and what his heart wanted, to like turn the stone into bread. He had to deny himself. And these things of like learning how to be submitted to the Lord Jesus in your life and with your money, I'm telling you, they matter more than you know. It is not like obtain more natural things by getting rid of yours. It is God watches to see what you do with natural things, to see if he can give you spiritual ones. But I'm telling you, he longs to talk to us face to face as one would talk to a friend. He wants you to be a man like Abraham that says, I cannot hide that from him. You can be a son and a daughter that walks so intimately with the Lord that he reveals things to you. And so I say, Lord, for me and for us, let it be. Let it be in our homes. Let it be in our families. Let it be over our lives. Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight. I invite the team to come back out. And we'll just begin to pray. You know the drill. This is just get comfortable. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. There are no rules. God doesn't look at the physical. He looks at the heart. He knows if you want to be here. He knows what you want to go to, where you want to go. So it's about the posture of the heart. But Father, we say, we want to know you, Lord Jesus. We want to talk to you face to face as one would talk to a friend. We want intimacy with you, Father. Lord Jesus, will you just allow your Spirit to purify our hearts? That while we worship and while we sing, that you just purify us. And bring us into a place of surrender. In Jesus' name, let's just worship the Lord, guys.